नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Vishnu Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's Instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 35. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Sri Chaitanya Manavista, Tapitamyena Bhutale, Svayam Upakarama, Eridatisa, Parantikam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adaita Gadadha, Sri Vasari, Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this first sentence in the purport, the general and popular notion is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritual realization. Was that true or false? Is that first sentence
we're in terms of the direction of the scriptures? So gradually they will develop this. They will come to this platform of pure devotional service. Like Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, in 12th chapter, that you should love me, but if you can do this, so perform sadhana bhakti. If you can do this, so try and understand this knowledge. And if you can do this, so just work on it.
Okay, then, but why isn't the next sentence Prabhupada says, Bhakti Yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. But factually, Bhakti Yoga is above both karma and jnana. Bhakti Yoga is independent of jnana and karma. On the other hand, jnana and karma are dependent on Bhakti Yoga.
Well, but because here is, in this first sentence, is fruitive work, in terms of the direction of the scriptures. So automatically, you know, they will bring these people to, because this is true, that bhakti is independent. It doesn't matter we have what karma.
What do you think, Vishuddhar? Is this first sentence, is Prabhupada presenting it as a true or something which is he counteracts?
I think he says that it's true, of course. If someone is not on that level to perform, cannot perform bhakti yoga, he's supposed to perform this karma yoga. But then Srila Prabhupada wanted to emphasize the difference, the transcendental position of bhakti in the second.
I'm not so sure if that's what he's saying, because anything that's general and popular, it's not true. You can take it. I mean, that's just my feeling.
What notion means, I forgot?
Idea. Idea. The general and popular idea is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire general knowledge for spiritualization. It's almost like he's saying, but bhakti yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. So in other words, by discharging fruitive work, that's a kind of karma. But bhakti yoga is in a different platform above that. It has nothing to do with fruitive work.
This is true. But if fruitive work is due according to the scriptures, to regulations, like someone can come and offer some fruits, his work to the temple, or you know, maybe he doesn't perform devotional service by himself, but he offers his fruits to the temple, you know, to the Brahmins or to the deities. And by this is
Yeah, that seems to be confirmed, because then later on it says, this Kriya Yoga or Karma Yoga, as recommended by Sri Narada to Vyas, is specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. The Lord does not want his sons living beings to suffer the threefold miseries of life. He desires that all of them come to him and live in him. But going back to God, it means that one must purify himself from material infections. When work is performed, therefore, to satisfy the Lord, the performer becomes gradually purified from the material infection. This purification means attainment of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is dependent on karma or work done on behalf of the Lord. other knowledge, being devoid of bhakti yoga or satisfaction of the Lord, cannot lead one to the kingdom of God. So the key is then, it has to be done for the satisfaction of the Lord. But in that first sentence, we go back to the first sentence. But some scriptures don't say anything about satisfying the Lord. So it may be that the Prabhupada is presenting it then as this is not true. The general and popular notion is that by discharging fruitive work, like they say, work is worship. You do your work and you'll become perfect.
But usually Prabhupada, if he doesn't mention exactly what kind of scriptures he means, he usually means like bhakti scriptures. I mean,
but that's speculation. We know for sure that some scriptures say karma kanda scripture. That's also scripture. You just do your work, and you know, it doesn't say anything about satisfying the Lord, though. Satisfying the Lord is where bhakti yoga comes in. And then he says, bhakti yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. So let's read the first sentence again. The general and popular idea is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire Shaitanya knowledge of spiritualization. I say, Prabhupada doesn't agree with this. He's just saying that it's a general and popular idea, but it's not true. Because unless you come to pleasing the Lord, like you can even read Bhagavad Gita and come and read some parts and it doesn't say anything about pleasing the Lord. Not really. I mean, I'm just trying to think of the sixth chapter where there was mention of, you know, breathing exercise and all. Not the yoga. But then at the end of the chapter, but then Krishna says, but the best yogi is one who pleases me. Well, Bhagavad Gita is definitely a bhakti shastra. But there are shastras that, what's another one, that doesn't mention, you know, that don't talk about that.
But different Puranas can be like
that. Just like last night we were saying about the Hindus. Most Hindus don't accept bhakti yoga as the, but they follow the scripture, they think they do, you know, they say, you know, all the Mayavadis, all the Sankacharyas, they have some scripture, they have the Upanishads, they have the Sankacharya's writings and so on, but they don't, you know, come to the scripture. That's what I think Robert is saying here. Let's read it once more. The general and popular idea is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire general knowledge for self-realization. You can almost say, but bhakti yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. But, and here comes the but. The but means no. See, the first sentence is saying something which Prabhupada doesn't agree with, the general and popular idea. Bhakti yoga is considered by some, that he's talking about the some, is the general and popular idea. Those people with the general and popular idea, they think that bhakti yoga is another form of karma. But factually, bhakti yoga is above both karma and jnana. So the idea of just discharging fruitive work, even in terms of the direction of the scriptures, it seems to me that's what he's indicating, that it won't be sufficient without bhakti.
I think what Prabhupada means is that but karma yoga, technically speaking, karma yoga could be the path and supposed to be kind of on the first level, you know, devotional service, the path of bhakti. Meaning if someone is not qualified to, you know, to act, you know, in full Krishna consciousness, but he is acting under the direction of spiritual master, it can be, technically speaking, it can be, you know, like karma yoga, because he's engaged with his senses and all the stuff, his nature. But at the same time, he's acting in bhakti, in the level of bhakti yoga.
But that's not the common and popular idea. Even now, the common and popular idea in India is that if you work with detachment, in the spirit of detachment, then you'll come to perfection. That's the mostly the karma yogis, that's what they're preaching. I mean, in this article, this India West that I get, this one guy speaks about Bhagavad Gita. That's his point. That Krishna is advising you to do your work, but do it in a spirit of detachment, see it as though neutral, and then that's all you have to do. You'll become perfect.
But that's impersonalism.
Yeah, that's why I think Prabhupada is attacking here. The general and popular idea is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the direction of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritualization. Bhakti yoga is considered by these to be another form of karma. But actually, Bhakti Yoga is above both Kama Yoga. Then he says, this Kriya Yoga, or Kama Yoga, is recommended by Sri Narada, is specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. But in some Kama Yoga, there's no principle like that. It just means you should do your work without attachment. That's what they consider Kama Yoga. Or Nishkarma. They say, okay, you have to do your work. You work in the, you know, you're a big, the president of a big company. They advise that you do your work and don't be attached. Work is worship. Just like Arjuna is also working, don't be attached. But they don't bring in Krishna.
The second sentence mentioned about this, that you know, this, from the second sentence, we can understand that these people, they don't have any knowledge about bhakti. They have knowledge only about
karma. So you've come to that side?
Yeah. You know,
push your jobs to hold it.
No.
But after the second, after the second sentence.
Yeah, it's, I think that's what Prabhupada is doing. He's setting this up, the general popular notion, so simply by discharging fruitive work in terms of the rest of the scripture, let me completely. But then he's saying, but factually, Bhakti Yoga is, you know, anyway, I think we understand.
I just had understanding of what Prabhupada meant, you know, Prabhupada's understanding of Bhakti, what Karma Yoga means, not this Boga's understanding, personal understanding, of course, it's obvious. Prabhupada means here, by Karma Yoga, Prabhupada means here, if he does mean here, like a personal understanding of Karma Yoga, because it's false. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there is that, that's quite common, like I told you. I was shocked that this guy was preaching to a big audience on Bhagavad Gita, and he was an atheist. Swami, the Chinmayananda mission. He was openly saying, so the whole key is this in this word, paritoshanam. There's also that paritoshanam is there. Varnashram dharma has to be done for the satisfaction of the Lord. Without this paritoshanam or working for the satisfaction of the Lord, Bhagavat paritoshanam means pleasing the Lord. So pleasing the Lord, that's the key. That's the key for our success, how to please the Lord. Therefore, we need a spiritual master. Otherwise, it'd be speculate. I think this is pleasing to the Lord. I think this is pleasing to the Lord. And the another reason the spiritual master is so valuable is that why we accept him also as, you know, Shakshanadi, because we can be confident if he's pleased, then Krishna's pleased. And we can't see Krishna. How do we know what's pleasing to Krishna? That'll be the dilemma, right? Everybody has this dilemma. That's why they become atheists. They can't see God. And therefore, they just want to save themselves. That's what the Mayavadi is more or less interested in. I want to perform, you know, some kind of process that will save me from this birth and death. This is what this guy was preaching also. So they don't believe in God, really. But our point is that it's true, you can't see God, but you, if you, the, God has come in the form of, why did, in the Vaishnava literature, the spiritual master is considered such a prominent position, because he is the one who is actually saving us, in the sense that he's teaching us how to please somebody. Because these Mayavadis, they are coming to the same point of pleasing themselves. They have, they're still caught up in that self-worship, or self-satisfaction. So we want to get above that. It's not easy to come to the point of really bhakti. That's why Prabhupada is making this point. Bhakti is above that, because people can't understand it, because they don't believe in God, really. But it really is true that bhakti is above, because then you can give up this putting yourself in the center. And the spiritual master obliges us to do that, because he makes it very clear. No, you rascal, don't please yourself. You have to please me. He takes that position. He agrees to take that position. That's Krishna's position. But he's not manifest here. We can't see Krishna. So the spiritual master comes and he says, yeah, you serve me. That's what Christ was doing also. Therefore they crucified him. Oh, you think you're God. Now he wasn't saying he was God. He was saying, you want to please God, you have to please me. That was just simply what he was teaching. But they resented that, because they had, you know, they were impersonalists. They had the idea of God. They had some false idols in their mind of what God was. And so they resented this person coming and saying, you can't come to God except you please me. That's the position of the spiritual master. So they became angry with that. And we see also, the tendency is there, you know, to avoid that position. or the, to what, you know, these rikvics, they're the same thing, they're saying, no, new people don't have to do that. They can just accept Prabhupada. But that's a similar kind of philosophy. You can't see Prabhupada, so you don't know if Prabhupada's pleased or not. So you're left to your own devices. Whatever you think is pleasing to Prabhupada, it's not pleasing to Prabhupada. Therefore, we stress the importance of a spiritual master to train us. I mean, that was what Prabhupada was doing. I saw practically. I didn't have any faith in God, but I started to have faith in Prabhupada. And then, you know, Prabhupada started to train me, and he made it clear that if I didn't please him, then I was in trouble. In other words, he made it clear to me that what I had to do, I had to somehow or other please him. And when I didn't please him, he would let me know very clearly. And so I was being trained how to please a person. And that remains with me. I still have to always think of that. What is pleasing to Prabhupada? And what is not pleasing to Prabhupada? So that's the principle. To please a person. So that's our beginning. That's why we say, we never come to the point where we don't need a spiritual master. Like the Mayavadi said, they may take help from a spiritual master, but then they become equal. They don't need a spiritual master. They can reject them. Prabhupada gave that example once on a morning walk. He took help from Bhavananda to come over a ditch. He took his hand, Bhavananda helped him over. Then he had his hand and then he threw it away. Prabhupada threw Bhavananda's hand away. He said, this is my life. Thank you, Guruji, and now I don't need you anymore. Throw him away. But our Vaishnava philosophy, no. We always remain connected with the spiritual master, always indebted to him, and always thinking ourselves ready to be guided by him. This is the Vaishnava philosophy. Although we're being guided by the spiritual master, still, the relationship with Krishna is direct. So that's some mystery, how it is, that even at the final stage, when we're seeing Krishna face to face, still, we're being helped by the spiritual master. well, this is the system that Krishna has arranged, because he's very kind to his devotee. And his rikvics want to minimize this, the impersonalists want to remove it, but we can't get around it. This is because it's a system that Krishna has established. he thought it was so important that he personally came to speak by the ear because it appeared to be lost, as he mentions in the fourth chapter. I gave this knowledge previously to the sun god, then he gave it to his son, so, but now it appears to be lost. So again, he's come. But the Rikvics want to say, no, it should be lost. Sarupan, Sampa, and the Cantaros, the Sapa, the Cantaros, and the Baba, the Chamber, the Cantaros, the Cantaros.